أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولله ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء قدير. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار. ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة إنك لا تخلف الميعاد. صدق الله العظيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، respected علماء الكرام، respected elders and brothers and our sisters that are listening over the receivers, this millennium from the year 2001, if any historian had to write the history of this ummah, undoubtedly they would be able to write it with the blood of this ummah. I'm not going to go into the details, but we know that after 2001, every year practically, if not, there were 1, 2, 3, and sometimes even 4 different catastrophes in the world. These catastrophes was of such a nature, such a magnitude, that if we just looked at the crisis in Gujarat at the very beginning of this millennium in 2002, when our mothers and sisters had witnessed what the Bani Israel witnessed in the atrocities of Fir'aun. Their children were trampled upon, their children were killed in front of them, women were abused, their fetuses were aborted, and those fetuses were trampled upon. 2003, the second Iraqi invasion, depleted uranium was used. The impact it had on the children of this ummah in Iraq, ill-formed, malformed, some of these children you would not know the front of the face from the back of the head. There were stubs without legs, without hands, and not just a selected few, hundreds of them. And as we go down, we will see The Palestinian issue had always been a crisis in this ummah, from year to year, from time to time. 2011 saw then the greatest of crises, and that is the Syrian crisis. In 2012, the first exodus, the first genocide, the first atrocities, the first catastrophe in recent history had begun in Arakan with the Rohingya people. We're not going to go into the very far details of it. The reasons are very clear. You have read about it in the media, that right where the Rohingya people live, gas had been discovered. And according to some experts, perhaps there would be the ninth highest producer of gas in the world. And of course, when material benefits, discoveries are made, unfortunately, the very first victims will be the ummah of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From 2012, alhamdulillah, the Al Imdad Foundation had worked in Arakan in itself. In Arakan in itself. In 2013, shelter was provided, blankets, food, etc. But that genocide and exodus continued. It would not be an exaggeration to say that that river Naaf flows with the blood of Muslims. It will not be an exaggeration to say those mountains are mortuaries of the bodies of the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will hear that those bodies are being devoured by the animals. There is no one to give a decent janazah, a decent ghusl, kafan and dafan of those people. They are our brothers. They are our sisters. They are our mothers. They are our children. In 2013, 2014, that aid continued. As a matter of fact, in 2014, the Al Imdad Foundation had done iftar and Ramadan programs in 37 countries, and amongst it, the greatest focus was in Myanmar. In 2015, you may recall, historically, that there was a group of refugees from Arakan, the Rohingya people once again, that were trying to migrate by sea, and strong winds caused those boats to drift to the shores of Banda Aceh in Indonesia. At that time, Allah's Fadl, our CEO Haji Yaqub Vahid, Maulana Muhammad Mutala, Maulana Abdullah Chauhan, formed a delegation and not only welcomed those Rohingya refugees, but a complete village was put up for them. Masjids, madrasas, clinics were also put up for them. 2016, the efforts amongst those people in Rohingya continued. And then when this genocide and atrocity had begun on the 25th of August of this year, Allah shukr, alhamdulillah, the response from the ummah in South Africa, and rather the global ummah, was so phenomenal. Allah Ta'ala reward one and all for giving us the opportunities to serve the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But brothers and friends, what those eyes of those refugees have seen. Those women had seen their husbands burn. Those women had seen their husbands' bodies being mutilated, shredded to pieces. Those women had seen the bodies of their husbands being chopped like how you and I would chop wood. They've seen their husbands being crucified on those trees. And those women themselves were robbed of their own integrity and their own dignity. Allah Ta'ala had given us the opportunity to have traveled to Bangladesh on the borders to distribute your aid. And alhamdulillah, we thank one and all for whatever contributions. And of course, we thank Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Mulla Saab for making himself available at absolute short notice, to be available on this trip, to be there, to share the sentiments of the people, and then to deliver those sentiments to us, so that we will understand what it is. I also take this opportunity to thank Hazrat Mawlana Naeem Sahab for giving us the opportunity to do this report back over here. But I think, brothers, this is not an awareness campaign. This is a reawakening campaign. It's not only about us becoming aware of what the situation is there, but we have to reawaken our consciousness. We need to understand that if you want to see insan, a human being without anything, fleeing from nothing that was everything for them, fleeing with nothing and going to nothing, then those are the Rohingya people. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make their conditions, ease their conditions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve them of all their difficulties. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward one and all. I call upon Maulana Sulaiman Mullah Sahab to address us and to give us an insight of his eyewitness experiences. Jazakumullah khair.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق وقال تعالى أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم بغير حق إلا أن يقولوا ربنا الله ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ليس الخبر كالمعاينة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, one of the greatest contributing factors to present day turmoil, turbulence, mayhem and anarchy in the world is, by and large, the human race has moved away from selflessness to selfishness, from togetherness to self-centeredness, and from common growth to individual advancement. The planet has adequate resources to fulfill the need of every human, but it doesn't have adequate resources to fulfill the greed of every human. Unfortunately, many of us have decided to live a life of greed, the price of which is many are deprived of their needs. Study the Quran and Sunnah, and you will know the lifeline of this deen is togetherness, mutual, and common growth. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ Allah uses the phrase togetherness. Aid one another. Support one another. Mutually help one another. When it comes to virtue and piety, وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ And don't aid and support one another in evil or vice. Linguistically, if you dissect the word ta'awun from tafa'ul, togetherness. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ Wherever a human is a victim of a crisis, then respond to your brother and support him. Give him comfort. Somebody said in the English language, I just wanted to reach out and touch the life of someone, not with my hand, but with my heart. While I was there, one of my students phoned me. He said, Maulana, I'm seeing footage and I'm crying. just to make me happy, hold one child and kiss him on my behalf. Inni mu'azzika. Oh my brother, I console you on the loss of your beloved. La anni ala thiqatin min al-khuludi. Not because I know I will live forever. Walakin sunnat ad-deen. But this is part of the rich teachings of Islam, that we share in the pain of others. فَمَا الْمُعَزَّى بِبَاقٍ بَعْدَ مَيِّتِهِ وَلَا الْمُعَزِّي وَلَوْ عَاشَى إِلَىٰ حِينِ. Neither the person consoling nor the person receiving condolences will live forever. وَمَا الدَّهْرُ إِلَّا هَكَذَا رَزِيَّةُ مَالٍ أَوْ فِرَاقُ حَبِيبِي. This is the rhythm of life. Sometimes you part with belongings and sometimes you part with beloveds. And when we look at the crisis in Rohingya, by Allah, they have parted with both simultaneously. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. It's mutual, it's together. In fact, under this ayah, I came across an amazing tafsir. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَذُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. The ulama will appreciate this tafsir better, but inshallah I will simplify it for the benefit of all. O you who believe, it will not harm you, the deviation of a deviant, provided you are guided. If a person reflects on the external face value translation, it might give him the indication that this ayah allows for a sense of individuality. If I'm guided and others go astray, then that's fine. But the ulama say the answer to this supposed or potential objection is in the ayah itself. Allah says, إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O you who believe, it will not harm you, the deviation of the deviant, provided you guided. And there are numerous verses of the Quran that tell you, as long as you don't care for others, you're not guided. So this ummah was built on togetherness. Unfortunately today, that spirit has been lost, and we've become individual. We've become in our own and personal lives. The Urdu poet said, Jab teer lagata, to dard na hua, zakham ka ihsas tab hua, jab kaman deki apno ke haathon mein. When the arrow struck me, I was oblivious of the pain. It only started agonizing when I realized my brother released the arrow on me. When the arrow was released, I was fine. I didn't even realize about the pain. I was good. I was strong. But when I looked closer microscopically, I seen my own kind stabbed me. I seen the man with whom I share a common faith. We share a common family. When I realized my own has stabbed me, that is the time it started paining me. That is the time it started agonizing me. And unfortunately, this is what has happened, where internally the ummah has lost the spirit of togetherness. So that's my first message. Before we proceed and we go ahead, may Allah make us selfless humans. Study nature. The rivers, they don't drink their own water. The trees, they don't eat their own fruit. The sun doesn't shine for itself. The rhythm in nature is a selfless, to give out to others. They say a society grows great when it plants a seed, knowing very well that I won't live to see the shade of this tree, nor eat from the fruit of this tree. But down the generations, a child will have his lunch break here, and a wayfarer will pluck a fruit, and that's an enough achievement and joy for me. That is the time a society grows great. So when Banu Nadir was conquered, and the spoils came to Nabi alayhi salam, and Nabi alayhi salam analyzed the situation, so he gathered the Muhajir and the Ansar, and he said, my thinking is I want to channel all these resources towards the Muhajireen, but informing the Ansar that this is not discriminating or excluding you, but rather is to give the Muhajireen financial independence. So directly aiding them, indirectly aiding you, detaching them from their financial dependence on you. Are you people fine with this? Nabi alayhi salam, engage them. I want to give it to them. And so the Sahaba said, we're fine and we have no objection and we salute your distribution and we're on par with your opinion. And Sa'd radiallahu anhu said, while we agree with it, O Nabi of Allah, just a little twist, just a slight change, if I can so humbly make known my opinion. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go for it. He said, I'm just wondering if you give them all this wealth and still allow them to live with us. And then Allah revealed the verse, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The one who's rescued from the greed of his ego. Because intrinsically, part of our DNA and our anatomy, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحَّ. We all by our very nature want to secure and procure everything for ourselves. But when we can rise beyond and go beyond, and the pain of others hurts us, and we can release our own assets and relinquish it so others can have basics, that is the time we start living a real life. So that's the first message. May Allah give us a spirit of selflessness. The second thing, I quoted the hadith, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-khabru kal-mu'ayana." That information is not like viewing. When you see something, it's a different effect versus hearing. And the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so apt that regardless of how things will change and evolve and innovate, the words of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam remain. A simple example. As-safaru qit'atun min al-'adhab. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, travel is a type of affliction. It denies you your food and your drink. You can travel in the lap of luxury, but the words of Nabi alayhi salam will stare you in your face. The journey is a type of affliction. Your eating would change. Some people when they travel, they become constipated. Some on the first night, they cannot sleep. Some probably they won't able to sleep for extended time. I'm reminded of a verse in the Quran in the 26th juz in Surah Muhammad. وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi has written something so amazing under this ayah. When a person travels, then even if he moves into the most exclusive hotel, in the first day there is a degree of discomfort because he needs to familiarize himself. So okay, where's the dining section? Where's your gym? Where's your swimming pool? Where are your amenities? So although it is 5-star and 7-star, but there is a degree of discomfort because there's lack of familiarity. So that would obviously pose the same question that when we go to Jannah, which is the pinnacle of joy, so like, okay, so in Jannah, how does it happen? Allah answers that question in the 26th juz, although it will be your first entry into Jannah, but Allah will instinctively familiarize yourself with Jannah as if you were there in advance. وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. So anyway, the words of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today you see footage, it probably makes you feel a bit more, you feel the touch. But by Allah, when you're on the ground, and you see with your own eye, and you see people don't have shoes, and they're walking in murky waters, and there's a stench that will kill you, and you've seen a child, without medical knowledge, you're saying either an hour or a day, but this child won't live longer. It makes every hair on your body stand. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was told by Allah to come to Mount Tur, he responded. Then he came in advance of the time that was allocated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى. And O Musa, what makes you come ahead of time? قَالَ هُمْ أُولَاءِ عَلَىٰ أَثَرِي وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Allah, my nation is tagging behind me. They tailing behind me and I have come in advance to please you. So Ibn Kathir says the reason why Allah asked the question to Sayyidina Musa was to inform him that you have hastened and come, but in the absence your nation has succumbed to a fitna. فَإِنَّا قَدْ فَتَنَّا قَوْمَكَ مِنْ بَعْدِكَ وَأَضَلَّهُمُ السَّامِرِيُّ. While Allama Alusi Baghdadi in Ruhul Ma'ani writes, the reason for engaging Musa was to inform him as a Nabi, it would be appropriate for you to move with your nation, as Allah told Sayyidina Lut, وَاتَّبِعْ أَدْبَارَهُمْ وَاتَّبِعْ أَدْبَارَهُمْ. But in Ma'riful Quran, Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali writes so beautiful, that when Allah informed Sayyidina Musa, and this is a preamble as I try to endeavor to give you my report on what I've seen, so that we can understand. My message would be one, of course, respond and financially aid. But on a different note, we need to start introspecting on our lives. We need to make changes in our life. We can see such carnage, such catastrophe. What are the changes? When Sayyidina Uthman was assassinated, Tabaqat ibn Sa'ad, Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu said, Allahumma inna laka alayya alla af'al wa la af'al wa la adhaku hatta alqaq. Allah, I had to live to see such a gruesome moment in history that a giant and a great Sahabi like Uthman has been assassinated. My vow to you is, Allah, from this day till the day I die, I will not laugh again, Allah. Allah, I will not. Abu Humayd al-Sa'iri, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd. Allah, this is my pledge to you. I will not be indulging in laughter again. When Sayyidina Musa was informed, it obviously disturbed him, concerned him. But the reaction of Musa alayhi salam was somewhat mild and passive compared to the reaction when he seen it happening. So when Allah told him, it disturbed him. But the Quran didn't quote any reaction at that time other than فَرَجَعَ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ غَضْبَانَ أَسِفًا. He returned to his people, غضبان, angry, أَسِفًا, lamenting. But when he got there, and he was on the ground, and he observed, and he witnessed, now the emotion was very different. He grabbed his brother by his head, he grabbed his brother by his beard, he dragged him close. بِأْسَمَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِنْ بَعْدِي. Is this how you deputize me in my absence? أَفَطَالَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْعَهْدُ. Was it too long for you to wait? أَمْ أَرَدْتُمْ أَن يَحِلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ غَضَبٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Or were you deliberately provoking the wrath of Allah? وَأَلْقَ الْأَلْوَاحِ. Bayan al-Quran, Hakim al-Ummah say, in haste, he put it down. And this is how he translates it. In haste, he put down the tablets. And then as his anger settled, وَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَمْ مُوسَى الْغَضَبُ. He realized, in my haste and my pain, but due to the gravity of the fitna, he was moved by his emotions. He then asked Allah forgiveness. قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِي أَخِي. And the most common explanation and exploration for the supplication of forgiveness at this juncture was that I had put the Torah down in haste. And the adab is that Allah forgive me and forgive my brother. So the point I'm saying is, to listen is one, my brother, but to see it with your eyes. Before I left from here, the different media houses and radio stations were phoning me and they were on my back. Give us an interview, give us a pre-departure interview. And I said, I can report to you, but I don't want to pick up an article and a caption and tell you. Let me feel it, let me see it tangible, and then I can report and try and tell you what the pain is. So anyway, be it as it may, like Maulana mentioned, I received a call some 2-3 weeks ago to say that we're embarking on this mission, and if you would accompany us. And alhamdulillah, there was a niche and an opening in my diary, and it worked out well. And obviously the concern was there, because it's in the heart of every Muslim. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, لو هلكت شاة في أقصى العراق لعددت نفسي لها مسؤولا. If an animal dies in the most remote part of Iraq, Allah will hold you responsible, O Umar. When we climbed and summited that one mountain, and I seen those babies, and these words of Umar flashed at me, that Umar is saying, if an animal dies, he will be held accountable. I swear by Allah, whose control is my life, children are dying of this ummah. Children are dying of this ummah. In my 40 years of life, I have never witnessed a catastrophe of such a magnitude. It's very easy to get extremely despondent, because the reality is the crisis is so great. Let me move in sequence, because I'm so overwhelmed. But just to interject and say this much to you at the onset, it's very easy to become despondent, and may Allah bless the Al-Imdad and their likes that have a system in place. Because you see the magnitude of the catastrophe, and you are helping 60,000 out of 500,000 or 600,000. Somebody asked me, so how do you feel? I said, you know, it's like a patient who probably needs a kidney transplant, who needs a bypass, whose sugar is erratic. And I went there, and you know what, he needed a haircut, so we cut his hair and clipped his nails. That's basically the kind of aid you offered. It's something, it's a beginning, it's a step. But you feel so, hypocritical about yourself. So anyway, it was agreed, documents were submitted, the process was applied for, and alhamdulillah, the visas came out, and we left from here exactly on the 18th, so that's give or take just about a week ago. We left Monday, I left from Joburg, the team left from Durban, brothers left from UK, and there was a team coming in from Australia, but in the 11th hour they had some other plane, so that kind of fell back. But we all met up in Dubai. We met up in Dubai, and from there we joined a common flight, and we flew out. So one of the brothers who was active in the team, mashallah, a former Bengali national and now currently holds British nationality, He speaks the vernacular language and is active on the ground and is helping. So he kind of briefed us while we were flying. He was giving us some insight regarding the happenings that's happening. And in a short span of 2 weeks, people have migrated and were compelled to leave no less than 460,000. But I'll tell you, when you went there and you see the current situation, their crisis is so bad that they have, and they have narrated this to us, they've seen their own family members being chopped up, being killed, being slaughtered. They've seen their homes being torched and burned. But that's one. We're not talking of the psychological implications on that individual. For the moment, I haven't eaten for 4 days. So, you know what, prioritize with the crisis, that's a separate thing. At the moment, 4 days, I haven't eaten. That's a harsh reality. Nabi alayhi salam walks into the garden of a sahabi, and then Nabi alayhi salam picks up a date, and Abdullah ibn Umar is with, and he says, Ibn Umar, will you join me? And he said, La ashtahi. O Nabi of Allah, momentarily I don't have any inclinations. And Nabi alayhi salam says, okay, for you it's a matter of inclination or no inclination. 3 days have lapsed. Your Nabi hasn't had anything edible. So we in the street, it just comes to my mind, I just want to share it. And we had an early morning, okay, let me just get back to pattern so that I can keep my pattern in line. So anyway, we leave out from here, we get to Dubai, we connect, we arrive in Dhaka. The name of the airport, Shah Jalal International. The local brother was mentioning to me that many of the airports there are named after a sage. And if you look at the name of Shah Jalal, is someone who hailed from Yemen. Now, Bangladesh itself had gained its independence in probably 1971 from neighboring state. It has a population of in excess of 170 million. And we know, unfortunately, again, economically, it's not very stable and viable. It's very densely populated. There are great ulama and shuyukh. Sheikh Abdul Malik is a great authority on hadith. There's Sheikh Ahmed Shafi in a place called Chittagong, which is one of the distinguished disciples of Hazrat Madni alayhi rahma. So they are great saints and friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned something to me which I really like. He said, you know, every time I come back home, I make it a point to go visit one friend of Allah. So whenever I come visit the country, my native land, my family, there are so many ulama and scholars. I consciously have a diary to say, last time I met this scholar, and I said, subhanAllah, that's so beautiful. And I often say this, the pious were those who flavored their recreation with spirituality. While today, unfortunately, we taint our spirituality with recreation. So the pious were those, they might be going for lawful recreation, but they will be reciting Quran and tilawat and ibadat. Man is going for hajj and watching movies. That's the reverse that has happened. May Allah protect one and all. We arrived at Shah Jalal International. Formalities was very easy. Airport environment was very relaxed. Brothers received us. We cleared formalities and etc. We came out. It was the time of Maghrib Salah. We performed Maghrib. Very close by, accommodation was arranged, but you know, traffic there is notorious. It's gridlock. It's a nightmare. So the location and the accommodation was no more than 2 kilometers, but they would budget like half an hour to 45 minutes. Everything in learning when you travel is a bounty from Allah, where you learn to appreciate the most minutest of things. In Babu Shukr in Hayatul Sahaba, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gathers the Sahaba. There is a person, A'ma, Abras, A'ma, Ajdam. He is blind, he has leprosy, and he has some other condition. He is in a really bad state. Sayyidina Umar said, أَتَرَوْنَ فِي هَذَا مِن نِعَمِ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا? Do you people see any bounty of Allah on this man? People are walking, the poor man is blind, he has a condition, he is leprosy, he's in a bad state, he's physically challenged, etc., etc. They said, La, we don't see anything. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, No, innahu yabulu bisahla. This man can pass urine with ease. Isn't this a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't this a ni'mat of Allah? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's quotation is mentioned there. Ash-shukru an-ni'matu mawsulatun bil-shukri. Wa-shukru mawsulun bil-mazidi. وَلَيْ يَنْقَطِعَ الْمَزِيدُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَنْقَطِعَ الشُّكْرُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. The bounty is paid up with gratitude. And gratitude is paid up with abundance. And abundance will not cease from Allah till gratitude doesn't cease from the servant. ما كان الله ليفتح باب الشكر ويخزن باب المزيد وما كان الله ليفتح باب التوبة ويخزن باب باب المغفرة وما كان الله ليفتح باب التوبة. سيدنا علي رضي الله عنه's quotation is there. It is not becoming of Allah and it's not in the nature of Allah that He opens the door of gratitude and shuts the door of abundance. It's not of Allah that He opens the door of tawbah and shuts the door of forgiveness. So if you display gratitude, Allah will grant you in abundance. Sayyidina Umar said, the man can pass urine with ease. We live in absolute comfort and luxury. May Allah give us the ability to be grateful. We need to effect changes in our life. When there was a drought and a famine, the narration is in Ma'riful Quran, I read it myself. Sayyidina Yusuf ordered an instruction that for the 7 years that there's drought, we will also only have 1 meal in the palace. We will also have only 1 meal. Allah's qasam in His control is my life. When we were driving down that road as we were hitting the borders, and I looked around me, I realized a shoe is a privilege. Barefoot was the order and the one with the shoe was the exception. Shoe didn't mean branded. Shoe didn't mean exclusive. A man couldn't own a flip-flop. Walking through murky, muddy waters, knee level was common and everyone. The naked child was the common sight. The cladded child was the exception. And what about my son? What about my son and his arrogance? So anyway, we put up in this place, Richmond Suites, not sweets as in sweets, simple, basic, but alhamdulillah, there was a cafe there, I seen there, a slice of New York in Dhaka. Never mind the slice, that Dhaka is New York, the city that never sleeps, buzzing one way. But a sight that I want to share with the youth, because my eye runs in different direction, apart from your rickshaws and different modes of transport, you have this young boy, 15 years old, he has this bicycle and he has a cart attached. And at the back of the bicycle, there are three adults that he's riding away for 10 kilometers from 6 a.m. till 12 at night. And this thing just, it was staring me in my eyes too much. I mean, the degrees are 40 and this man is labor intense, not a motorcycle, a bicycle with three adults in the rear. And probably they occupy the most amount of traffic on the road. But that is how they work and toil. And when we see our youth and they sit and how idle they are, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Inni la ubghidhu ar-rajula farighan, la fi amali ad-dunya wa la fi amali al-akhirah. If there's something I dislike and despise, is to find a man idle, doing absolutely nothing. Nothing constructive of deen, nothing constructive of dunya. There's no room in the life of a believer to sit idle. Anyway, we settle in, we spend the night there, early morning we have breakfast, and we head back to hotel, to airport. Again, 2.5 kilometers, but you've got to budget a good half an hour, 45 minutes. It's just an absolute gridlock, it's a nightmare. And let me interject and say to you, while it is your right and your responsibility to ask and follow up that your funds reach the correct recipients, I can say this after seeing it with my own eyes, to give your money is easier. To coordinate the logistics is much more difficult. Taking money out of your pocket is the easiest thing, my brother. The bureaucracy, the formality, the red tape, the challenges, the impediments, the hurdles, the obstacles, the authority. Oh my word. For that money to reach, one brother had given me some funds. When we hit the top of the mountain, and I looked at this child and I broke down. I took that money, I spoke to the local brother and I said, can I distribute? Because my heart has just been taken away. He said, by all means, go for it and do it. I promise you, the logistics of it reaching there is a nightmare. You entitle and it's your right and you need to query and there needs to be transparency. But we need to be cognizant of the daunting challenges that one needs to entail and the procedures before it reaches there. It's a tall order. It's a big ask. It's a colossal and a mammoth task. We spend the night, we come back to the airport. So now here at the airport, there are a lot of NGOs, Muslim and non-Muslim, journalists and others all going out. We met a lot of non-Muslim NGOs there as well, coming to offer a helping hand. So you have the place like Cox Bazaar, as in COX apostrophe S. You have Chittagong, you have Jeshua. And these are different places. So you could either fly to Chittagong and then drive, but like I said, driving is a nightmare, or Cox Bazar, which from a perspective of coordination is more sensible and more viable and closer in proximity. So alhamdulillah, the team that was operating the flights had it all in order and it worked out well. We take a local flight on a local, carrier and airline, Nov Air. And we fly to Cox Bazar. It's a simple 1 hour flight. After taking off, reading the du'as, I just picked up on the local paper and there was extensive coverage on the Rohingyan crisis. Front page, the woe of a mother, the cry of a mother. And what's the heading? Constant rain causes heavy pain. So now you're dealing with the fact that they have been driven, they've been expelled, they have been banished out of their land. And this is the tale of a mother on the front page while we're flying, I'm reading. And obviously this is tearing you even more as you've seen it. That she lost her husband, she's seen her child being killed, her daughter ran for safety, she crossed over, she was given a makeshift shelter. My brother, a makeshift shelter is not what your mind is running on. It's a bamboo stick. I captured some images and probably you've seen it. It's a bamboo stick with some basic canvas. Inside there's absolutely nothing. They exit from the tent and they relieve themselves. So sewage and stench is something that we would die with stench. We would die with stench. You go inside there and inside there the entire family sleeps on the floor. The entire family sleeps on the floor. Prior to Ramadan, when we were in one desert area in Jordan, and we handed out the containerized home, so they asked me to do the formal handing, but may Allah reward the donor who sent it. And as I gave it to him, we asked him one question. We said, brother, and I've seen this. Just recently, I spoke here in Pushepton at a school event, probably 2 weeks before I left. And I mentioned this. There was a little tent, and the entire tent was divided. And on the tent, little there was a certificate. And this certificate was not laminated. It was not put up in a plaque. It was not put up in a beautiful frame. So I called the little girl and I spoke to her in Arabic. With all this crisis, she attends the school and she had attained exemption. So in her small tent, that little certificate was hung up. It made me tear. And that is resilience. That is strength, that is might, that is ability, that with all these challenges, the girl gets up, leaves the tent. When I asked the dad that now we hand over this to you, what's your first joy? He said, at night, I don't have to make sure there's no snakes so my baby can sleep. My joy is this, that now we're on a solid structure, and at night, we don't have to see there are any snakes. So at least I know that degree of comfort there is. So anyway, we arrive in Cox Bazar. It's raining. And we come out at the airport, bags come out, and we're taken to the close-by hotel. This hotel is housing all the NGOs that are working there because it's in close proximity. Now, you know what, to add salt to injury, while Cox Bazar is the most central in terms of gathering the aid and dispatching it, but sadly, unfortunately, due to the crisis, people have here now taken exorbitant prices for basic needs. So now this creates another spin where you are so close, you minimize on transport, you minimize on other costs, but now for a bag of rice here, because of demand, there's an accident, a man is about to breathe his last, and people like vultures are now stealing his wallet and his phone and other amenities. That is where the human race has stooped to. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi's words will ring in my ears and I'll die with it. Are insaniyat girte girte itna gir gaya ke ab girne ki jagah nahi rahi. Oh mankind, you have stooped so low. You have fallen so low. There's no more place to fall. There's no more place. Like, can it get worse? Okay, there was rape and then there's incest. And then it's your daughter and then it's your son. Can it get worse? Someone's dying. Are you thriving on the pain of others? Are you pushing your prices up? Look at our ibadat that has monetary connotations. I'm not pointing fingers to anyone. Be it Hajj, be it Qurbani, be it anything. There's a sense of exploitation. Revenue needs to be generated. You need to make money, but you can be objective and practical and user-friendly. May Allah guide one and all. May my opening sentiments become selfless and come out of a selfish life. then we will start seeing the quality of life. Then we will see Sayyidina Uthman, the narration during the reign of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, there's a drought. As-sama'u lam tumtir, wal-ardu lam tumbit. There's no rain, there's no grain, there's no vegetation. Wal-nasu fi shiddatin wa khawf. People are in a crisis. They knock the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We are in an absolute crisis. You know, people are on the verge of dying. Sayyidina Abu Bakr said, innakum la tumsoon hatta yufarrij Allahu ankum. I'm optimistic before the sun will tip on the western horizon. Allah will open a door of sustenance. Just hope and let's see what happens. Sayyidina Abu Bakr barely says this. News filters into Medina that 100 camels laden with grain of Sayyidina Uthman has just arrived. Those who had the clout, the financial muscle, they come and knock the door of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Oh Uthman, you know the crisis and I believe that you have a caravan here. Can we help you out? There's an absolute crisis. لِلْعَشْرَةِ إِثْنَا عَشَرْ What landed you at 10, we'll give you 12. Sayyidina Uthman said, I have a better offer on the table. قَدْ زَادَنِي Okay, we'll up the offer. لِلْعَشْرَةِ ثَلَاثَةَ عَشَرْ What landed you at 10, we'll make it 13. Sayyidina Uthman said, please, I don't wish to be, you know what, insensitive to the crisis, but I have a tangible offer that's better. Okay, what's it? We will offer you 15. Sayyidina Uthman said, my first offer is better than that. That's your fourth offer, my first offer. So they said, لَمْ يَبْقَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ تُجَّارِ There's no other businessman, whoever has the financial clout, it's us. Nobody else negotiates the deals. What are you talking about? زَادَنِ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى بِكُلِّ دِرْهَمٍ عَشْرًا Allah has started off the first relation, the first engagement. Allah said, He'll give me 10. أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ مَالِي صَدَقَ عَلَىٰ فُقَرَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ This ummah must be in pain and I must make money. This ummah must be in pain and I must make money. And I'm worried about expansion. When I came back after staying with them and then I came back to the hotel and then I stood under the shower, for a moment I felt nice. And then a call from within me came out and said, what a hypocrite you are, man. What a munafiq you are. Hanzala went home. And his emotion was not the same and he called himself a munafiq. What do I call myself? The sun was setting. We live in the street and I'm seeing the people falling into sewage. I'm seeing people falling into rivers and I'm leaving away like tough luck. See you tomorrow. I'm gone for now. I'm like, why will I face my Allah? I'm not worried about you, not in a bad way. I don't know how I'll face my Allah. I just don't know how I will face my Allah. I came home, my wife is like, you ate? I said, you know what, one time, don't ask me that question. Really don't ask me if I ate. That's the last thing you need to worry if I ate or drank. What I seen my wife, even back home, you won't eat if you see what I seen. So anyway, Sayyidina Uthman said, أُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ مَالِي صَدَقَى I make you a witness that whatever assets I have. Imagine Sayyidina Yusuf, right? He's sitting on the throne. Allah has elevated him and his brother coming in desperately. فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ And he says, oh, these are my brothers. And they recognize him not. And the words of the Quran are so amazing. مُنْكِرُونَ مُنْكِرُونَ You know, the world today, as I mentioned, is selfish. I read some Ajib tafsir. It just comes in my mind. I share it with you. إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفْ لَمَّا كَانَتْ لَهُمْ حَاجَةٌ مِنْ أَخِيهِمْ قَالُوا أَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا The brothers of Yusuf, when they had a need for Yusuf, oh, our father, send our brother, we love him. وَلَمَّا انْتَهَتِ الْحَاجَةِ اِرْجِعُوا إِلَىٰ أَبِيكُمْ فَقُولُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّ ابْنَكَ سَرَقْ إِنَّ ابْنَكَ سَرَقْ إِنَّ ابْنَكَ سَرَقْ When work was over and things were done, then go to your father and say, his son. But you said he's your brother? Yeah, he's my brother when I needed him. I'm done with him. Now he's your son. Now he's your son. That's the world today. Irji'u ila abikum faqulu. But now the message is for us to be like Yusuf alayhi salam and not to display that of his brothers. What was the character of Yusuf alayhi salam? He's sitting there and they walk in. Fa'arafa whom he identifies them. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ And they recognize him not because things have evolved and changed. And then he calls his workers and his helpers. And he says, you see these people, it's a long story, they are my brothers. Let formality go ahead. You take their money, give them grain. But before they leave, you put their money back in their saddlebags. I cannot exploit my own. اجعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم اجعلوا بضاعتهم في رحالهم لعلهم يعرفونها إذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم لعلهم يرجعون. Anyway, we settle in. We meet with the different NGOs. We're given a half an hour window period that, you know, sort yourself out, come downstairs, we meet in here, just to strategize things, and then we leave in. So in half an hour we meet down, we gather, they ask me to say few words. Hazrat Maulana said few, and then I said few. My message to the group and the crew on board before we were leaving was simple. I quoted one Arabic proverb, صَبْرُكَ فِي مُصِيبَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَزْعِكَ وَجَزْعُكَ فِي مُصِيبَةِ أَخِيكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَبْرِكَ. That's the summary of our deen. It is better for you to be silent, to be patient, to persevere and to endure when you are in pain. And it is better for you to moan and groan and react and mobilize on the pain of others. Today things are directly opposite. On our own pain, we're screaming, we're yelling, you've offended me, you've violated me, I will sue you what you did. And the world is just carnage and catastrophe and massacre and killing. And we're just silent about the whole thing. My Habib Sassan's blessed finger was injured. There cannot be anything greater than his finger. It's the finger that split the moon. But my Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam and your Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَهَلْ أَنْتِ إِلَّا إِصْبَعٌ دَمِيتِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَقِيتِ. May Allah give us strength to persevere on our own pain. And may Allah give us strength to react on the pain of others. Nabi alayhi salam went to visit Zayd radiallahu anhu. He was ill. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ مَرَضِكَ هَذَا بَأْسِ. Zayd, this one you'll recover from. You'll be fine, you'll be up and about. وَلَكِنْ كَيْفَ إِذَا عُمِّرْتَ بَعْدِي فَعُمِيتَ. But I'm afraid you're going to be given a long lifespan after me. It's in Hayatu Sahaba in Babu Sabr. After my death, you will be given a long life. And should I forewarn you, Allah is going to test you with your vision and your sight will be snatched away. I'm just wondering when that illness comes away, how will you deal with it? إِذَنْ أَصْبِرْ وَأَحْتَسِبْ. Nabi Allah, I will hope for reward and I'll persevere. If it was us, but don't curse me. Make good du'as. You must have good... Nabi alayhi salam said it. That was Sahaba. He's sitting with his Sahaba. There's a knock on the door. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari la'akunanna bawwaba Rasulillah. I'm the butler of Nabi alayhi salam. There's a knock. Who's it? Abu Bakr. Okay, tell him he can come in. Wabashiruhu bil Jannah. Tell him he can come in. Jannat is his. There's a knock on the door. Who's it? Umar. Tell him to come in and Jannat is his. Tell him who's a knock on the door. It's Uthman. Tell him he may come in. وَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ عَلَىٰ بَلْوَىٰ تُصِيبُهُ. Just add on, tell him he may enter. Jannat is his, but he will be afflicted before he dies. When Sayyidina Uthman came in, he didn't like, Abu Bakr, were you told that? No. Allahumma sabran. Allah, I don't know when I'll be tested, but your Nabi told me I'll be tested. Allah, whatever you drop in my lap at the time you drop, just allow me to deliver in the manner you want me to behave. Allah, let me live up to the moment in the manner in which you want me to behave. صَبْرُكَ فِي مُصِيبَتِكَ خَيْرٌ مِّن جَزْعِكَ. When you're in pain, then persevere, contain yourself, manage yourself, cry to your Allah, cry to your Allah. But when others are in pain, then open your mouth, then use your pen, then use your talent, then you have any skill and any ability. You have any skill and ability, engage it, mobilize it, use whatever medium and forums are at your disposal. And I said, with that spirit we go out to reach out to our brothers and sisters, even if it means that we can put a smile on their face for a day. قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. That we can say, Allah, we tried. So anyway, we strategize and we leave from there. We leave from there and we go out to firstly see and view the aid. So we drive out to a place called Ukiya, on the outskirts actually. Now the trucks that you had donated were loaded, were laden. There was food, there was rice, there was oil, there was tents, there was mosquito nets. But like I said, it's tedious, it's cumbersome to get this, to coordinate this, to get people working. The plus of that is you engage some local labor, so it generates some revenue for them. So they were working relentlessly prior to us coming to get this in preparation. So we reach out there to see and view, because the next day we have an entire group with the trucks that would be driving into the camp that has been assigned for us. So they have camps And with the grace of Allah, the camp that was assigned for us was literally on the borders, to the extent that the network was picking up Myanmar. So, you know, you were right up there at that close proximity. Anyway, we view the provisions, etc., meet the brothers and coordinated that tomorrow this time we will be leaving and we'll be meeting up. But now you got to understand, the drive is not an easy drive. It's not a straight road. It's not a systematic road. There isn't two-way traffic here. You know, there's people walking. And everything that you see and you observe is a learning curve. You see people, you know what, carrying loads on them. It's hot. You see old, aged, elderly people. You see a person who's got a load on a bicycle, and the bicycle is only there because there's wheels, but it's too heavy for him to cycle. So he's really pushing the bicycle, and there's no way he can cycle that load. But to put that load and just push it, that's how he's getting across. And all this makes you think, Ya Allah, how soft is my life? Ya Allah, how easy is my life? It's a kilometer away, I'm sitting in a car, it's an aircon, it's a phone, it's on a car kit, I said, soft, all amenities. He's a servant of Allah, I'm a servant of Allah. You can so easily reverse this scenario, oh my Allah, but out of your grace you have given me. A believer is one who perpetually fears that Allah can seize what he has. And the sign of a munafiq, he feels he's anchored, he's in a safe zone. أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ أَفَأَمِنُوا مَكْرَ اللَّهِ فَلَا يَأْمَنُ مَكْرَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ Do they feel safe from the chastisement and the grip and the power and the makr of Allah? Well, that's the lot of a nation that are losers. اللهم لا تنزع مني صالح ما أعطيتني. Constant supplication of Habib. Allah, don't seize. Allah, don't snatch. Allah, don't take what you gave me. Allah, don't take. That's the teachings. Hakim al-Ummah has written, the root of gratitude is, Allah, I don't deserve what I have. And the root of arrogance is, I deserve what I have. So anyway, we drive out, and the brother warns us that, listen, Sheikh, we are now coming. We're getting into the camps, and you will start observing the Rohingyan families. I wish you could close your eyes and view what I view, and that thing opens up to my eyes. Now, when you see them, for an outsider, you might have difficulty differentiating between a local Bengali and a Rohingyan. Just like probably people from Europe or people from Africa on a common continent, they might look all the same or share the same color skin. But those that are locals will differentiate from their dyes, their features, their dialect. So as a foreigner, it becomes a bit difficult, but the locals will tell you that's a Rohingyan, because there's been a bit of an influx of poor Bengalis as well. People, by and large, are living in poverty there. That's generally, economically, things are not stable. So there is an overall poverty, and now there's this influx. But obviously, in the life of a believer, there is room, as long as there's place in your heart, there's place anywhere. That's the spirit of a believer. What did Allah describe the Sahaba as? يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ In Islam, there's no xenophobia. يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ They love those who migrate to them. They love them. They affectionate to them. They embrace them. Because this is the land of Allah. This is not my land. So as you start moving down, and you're driving down, and it's winding, and you're going deep down, you start observing pockets of families sitting on the side of the road. There are brothers who were with me, and they will bear me out. Allah is listening, and Allah is watchful. There's an entire family sitting. Now, when you observe, you'll find the young men are not to be seen. You've seen women and children. You've seen women and children. My sister to you, if you're listening to me over a receiver, or may Allah transmit my words, when you cuddle your baby, cuddle him or her with love and value what Allah has given you. I have seen so many till I couldn't see. The mother is scantily dressed, not out of immorality, but lack of clothing. The child is totally nude. The mother is latching the child on because there's nothing else to eat. The mother is walking. And it starts raining, and I'm seeing this with my eyes, and I turn my face away. The mother takes the one child latched on, and the other child here, and she runs up a tree for shelter. While I see other children running beneath a truck. That's the shelter. Not my father's car, not the garage, not the outside office, not the storeroom, not this area. Under a truck, standing there. So we're driving along, and these children, the hope on their face of aid is so desperate that any gesture that you make is interpreted as potential distribution. So it becomes a crime to open your window, to move your hand to your pocket, to stretch your leg, to take some fresh air, because they gather. So you open your window, Allah is my witness, 200 are around you. We needed to get our boots, which were in the car ahead. So the car halted, the trunk was open, 500 swarmed that car. I said, brothers, close the trunk and move on. If we cannot help, let's not add to their pain. They look in hope and we document despair. Now, by logistics and by local laws and martial interventions, you're not allowed to distribute aid because of potential stampede. Today we left the main newspaper article, aid truck wheels off the road and kills 9. Now, and that's real. When we were going in with our trucks in Camp 6, I seen the one truck tilt. Because you have to go into places where there are no roads. So how else do you get the aid there but make use of those man-made roads, which are so flimsy and fickle? But if you don't use that road, how do you get the aid? Now when they have crossed, oh my Allah, I promise you the crisis is beyond. So we stopped there, we had not eaten, the brothers bought some bananas, and this child came up. And in desperation, he's like asking. So I couldn't look him in my eyes. It was just too much. And he's alone. Children are paired up with parents. Parents are paired up with children. We're not dealing on the psychological implications and the trauma and the relocation and leaving your native land and being banished and exile. We're not talking of that. We're saying there's current hunger and you're living in a condition. By Allah, probably we will not allow that for animals. That's how the condition are. It's not livable. So anyway, the child comes up close, and I couldn't, and we had absolutely nothing, so I opened the window, and I give him the banana. In my life, I never seen a human eat something more relishly, like how that boy ate on that banana. I looked with the corner of my eye, because I couldn't look with a straight eye. The boy sat and ate the banana. My calculations, the way he ate, probably it was the first edible thing after 3 days. While my son will fuss on a lavish meal, probably if it's not hot enough or it's too cold, or the drink is not chilled enough, or probably the dessert blend is not in order. I'm saying to you, young man, stop your arrogance. Stop your shenanigans. Stop. Pause for a moment. You have an Allah to answer to. I have an Allah to answer to. When this is the crisis, a caravan comes outside Medina. Sayyidina Umar, Najd Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, can we look after them? Okay, let's go. Bata yahrusanihim wa yusalliyani ma kataba Allahu lahuma. One monitors, one performs salah. One monitors, one performs salah. One child is crying. And here you're seeing hundreds. Those children are bones. It's actually protruding. It's protruding. And I have observed the kids don't cry. My understanding, I'm no medical doctor, probably they've cried it all out. They are complete bones. If I look at it, I said, you know, I don't know if this child will see the night or the day or will see a week. The mother has nothing. There's this hunched man walking. I'm crying. I say, Ya Allah, where do you begin? You know, your own ego is reproaching you. I'm talking the markets are volatile. You know what economists are predicting this year? The currency is going to fall. My shipment hasn't been released as a competitor in the market. How do you reconcile these slogans of a missing more amidst such a catastrophe? Help me with language. Sayyidina Umar is patrolling. A child is crying. One child. And Umar is restless. Thousands are crying. Thousands. The mother is holding. I won't forget this sight was on the next day we walk in. So the mother is holding the child when we were distributing and she's latched the child on. There's nothing else. So she's carrying the rice bag on her head. She's carrying the oil in her hand. She's latched the child on. The child is completely nude. The degrees are 40. She stood in that queue for 2 kilometer queue. You cannot do anything else. There's 60,000 people in the camp in which we're distributing. You say, let this elderly person come out. You look back, the one behind is more elderly than the first one. You say, she's aged. The one behind is more challenged. So she stood for 2 kilometers. There's no shoes. Allah is my witness. She latches her child on. The rice is on her head. And my inner emotions is telling me, And I'm complaining that my water is too hot and it's too cold and this is not in order. Ya Allah, how am I going to answer? Ya Allah, how am I going to face you? Latch the child on, the rice on the head, the oil in one hand, and after waiting for 2 kilometers, now it's a 2 kilometer walk to her camp and it's only 40 degrees. Sayyidina Umar hears the child cry. So he goes to the mother, please lull your child and put him off, man. You know, it's night time. The child continues crying. Sayyidina Umar goes back. Please, sister. Inni la araki umma su'in. One child, and Umar couldn't rest. And thousands are crying, and my life continues normal. Right? Ma kana li ahli al-Madina wa man hawlahum min al-A'rabi أن يتخلفوا عن رسول الله ولا يرغبوا بأنفسهم عن نفسه. This ayah was revealed on the occasion of Tabuk. Tafsir Uthmani, the reference is Abu Khaythama radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salam is in the heat and he's gone out. Abu Khaythama said, I'll go and join up, man. I just want to meet up with my wives. I just need to wrap up things. We'll attend to it. And he had two spouses. They prepared a little tent in the orchard. قَدْ رَشَّتْ كُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا عَرِيشَهَا وَبَرَّدَتْ فِيهِمَا. Legal, lawful, legitimate. Not haram. We indulging in forbidden when that's the crisis. In some of my interviews I said, the first message is stop a life of sin. Come see what the ummah is paying. See with your own eyes. Abu Khaythama says, I got there and then this call came in from me. رَسُولُ فِي السَّمُومِ وَالْحَمِيمِ وَأَبُو خَيْثَمَ فِي ظِلٍّ بَارِدٍ وَطَعَامٍ مُهَيَّأٍ وَإِمْرَأَةٍ حَسْنَاءٍ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ مَا هَذَا بِالْإِنصَافِ. Abu Khaythama said, I got to my tent. I seen my two spouses. They prepared the food. It was all arranged. They sprinkled water. It was Arab style. And then a calling came into me and said, Abu Khaythama, Allah's Nabi is in sweltering heat. You with your spouses, enjoying a soft meal in comfort and luxury. Abu Khaythama, this will not go down well for you on the day of Qiyamah. My brother, you look in your heart, that's the crisis, and you currently busy probably flying to see some match, or probably wanting to, I'm not asking you to give up your life of necessity, but I'm saying surely we can drop the standards. I'm not saying don't buy a shoe, but you can change from a branded shoe to a regular shoe. And the disparity between the two prices, let it put on some flip-flop for hundreds of people. I'm not saying don't clothe yourself, but leave the brand worshipping. In here illa asma'un sammaytumuha antum wa aba'ukum ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. While these verses were revealed for objects and idols, we know different when it comes to brands. ما هذا بالإنصاف ما كان لأهل المدينة ومن حولهم من الأعراب أن يتخلفوا عن رسول الله. It doesn't become of those living around the Nabi of Allah that they leave Nabi alayhi salam and they go and he's out. Abu Khaythama himself calls out and then he leaves and then someone says, this person advancing, Nabi alayhi salam says, كن أبا خيثما. It looks like it will be Abu Khaythama. And he said, Kittu ahlik ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, I was on the verge of destruction. And in the 11th hour, I changed my intention and Allah rescued me. I say this in gratitude to Allah to motivate someone. I landed and I came back home. I barely got home and I received an email. A brother from California. My name is Muhammad from France. I had traveled to the US to become an actor in the entertainment industry. I was introduced to your lectures in 2009 and I've been listening to it. With the grace of Allah, I heard one of your lectures, my life has changed. I've given up becoming an actor. I now have a sunnah beard and I'm married with a woman in hijab. I just write to you to inform you Allah has changed my destiny through your lecture. I'm saying, my brother, at this point, make that change. Make that change. That's what Allah wants from us. Donating is the duty and it's a responsibility. But don't stagnate on that level. We need to make some serious changes in our life. So anyway, we get off. Because at that time I said, I'm ready to do the interview. Because I could feel the pain in me. When I'm seeing what I was seeing, I couldn't manage myself. So if I can capture this, there's this ocean of people on this narrow street. On either side, there's little water, there's camps. Now, when I say camps, wherever they find vacant land, they occupy it. To the extent that there are camps on a cliff, if a child at night is sleeping, he rolls, he tumbles 10 meters down. My wife takes all the precautions of her child and her baby on the bedside, and rightfully so, she'll probably drop her husband off, but take care of that baby and good luck. And may I'm just saying, I want to say to my sister, if Allah has blessed you with a child, suckle your child, nurse your child, don't give up your motherhood. There are women who have nothing in their chest and they give in milk. There are women who have nothing in their chest and they are giving milk. Leave your career for a moment. Adjust your priorities for a moment. But don't deny that child that bond. I've seen it too, and modest, with the little dress that they have, they cover the upper chest to latch that child on. The child is nude. Not partially nude or semi-nude. Totally. There's nothing. Walking through, you know, me at a grave, when I'm hurling sand in, I'm dusting myself off. At a grave, this is the place of death. I mean, if this can't jolt me, what will jolt me, my Allah? What will? This is walking through puddles of water. So anyway, we get off, and I conduct my first interview, and I'm seeing this happening around me, and I'm like grappling. لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِي. Each man oblivious of the other, consumed by his own crisis. It's not like a child doesn't want to help an old man, or old man doesn't want... Each one is in his own battle. So they walk in two way. This old man's got this heavy load. Bamboo sticks are widely available. And I'm told they grow rapidly. So they erect their tents with this here. So they cut in across. Now there's a little river here. And the stench is unbearable. To the extent, Allah forgive me, that when I came back, and when we got back to the hotel, they wouldn't give us access into the hotel. You know, it's protocol here. It's all, you know, high class, five star, whatever. Sorry, you cannot come in with that gear. You need to either change the gear or wash the gear, but you cannot access that. That is the condition, and we were just there for a few hours. That is in that, they're not walking, they're sleeping in that. They are sleeping in that, literally sleeping in there. The things that killed me the most was that look on their face of hope. That look on their face of hope. So I get off there, we conduct the first interview. And I actually stopped the interviews respectfully to my colleagues, because I said, listen, we can get 1,000 interviews lined up now, right? We had a translator on board. But how do you comfort a person to say, tell me your story, I'll sell it to the world, but for the moment you can't do anything for her? I mean, you know, what's that? I said, it doesn't help. You're promising the sister, I'm going to report your crisis. I'm a journalist. I'll convey your message. Aid will filter. But for the moment, it's 4 days. It's 4 days I haven't eaten. My husband has been killed. They've been displaced. I don't know where they are. So we did 1-2 interviews. Molana conducted. We alighted off the vehicle. This woman is there. Now, as soon as you start, everybody just converges in the hope again there's aid being distributed. Now, how do you keep on saying, sorry, it's not aid, and even if you want to give, there's this protocol and bureaucracy, because they had stampedes, because it's hunger. Hunger will drive. Nabi alayhi salam said, hunger can make a person a kafir. Nabi alayhi salam said, hunger will make a person a kafir. You know, that day we ate at 7 a.m., and the next meal we had at 1 a.m. And honestly, in hindsight, it was a blessing in disguise. It just made us feel little while what they go through daily. I mean, you cannot even compare. It's an insult to compare. But it's an insult to eat when people are in this crisis. It's an insult to sit and bother of your own meals. May Allah forgive me. I sat in that shower, and as the water trickled down, and you have a hot shower, and for the moment your body feels so nice and relaxed, and inside your iman is just reproaching you and saying, well, what an arrogant munafiq you are. Like, what are you talking, man? Who are you thrilling, man? Is this your life? So you left them and you're done and you're over. You seen someone in a hospital, in ICU, I'm so sorry, really, and everything. And you come out there and say, what's the score? What's the currency? Who's playing? Who's flying? Like, what? We with you, let us know, moral, emotional, financial, and you come out and those are your priorities and your discussions. Like, so short were your moments of reflection. So we do an interview with a sister. What happened? My husband was killed in front of me. Okay, your house, it was burnt. How long have you come? 10 days ago. Have you managed to find the other family members? No, not at all. Where are you living? On the side of the road. And the challenge is, the magnitude is so large, is that painful, appalling tale applies to everyone that's there. So this is where you find yourself, you know what, tied up. This is where you find yourself shackled. Like, where do I start? Anyway, I start walking through. And as we're walking through and you're seeing it happening, the child hops into this river, right, which is giving off a stench. He takes off his upper garment that he has, and he puts it in that dirty, murky water, and he starts washing it. But there is nothing else. I only own what I wear. This is smelling, the water is smelling, there's sewage here, but there is no other water. There are water pumps, and this is one of the projects of Al-Imdad. There are water pumps, but this is very shallow. And I've seen this with my own eyes as we climb the mountain, and I'll tell you later. So these water pumps, they pump, probably it just goes about 10 meters down, or maybe 20 meters, nothing significant. So because it's not, you know, the best of pumps, and it doesn't have deep access, the water coming out is not pure and wholesome and of quality. Safely, I won't wash my clothes with that water. Allah's qasam, they drink in that water. Allah's qasam. When I went to the medical tent and I did an interview with the doctors, language was a bit of a challenge, but I engaged them. I said, what are the common prognoses and diagnoses? He said, they all have skin disease. They all have skin disease. Right? Because you're living in, understand this, my brother, understand. You know, you use the loo and somebody went before and you, brothers, please, ventilate. And we cannot handle it. And somebody probably was, you know what, spending extended time, and you'll stall your stools and you'll delay it and you'll go back. People exit the tent and then they defecate there, and then the child is washing the dishes there. And from that same river, the child takes out his top, washes it and puts it back on. So we're walking through the street, and 1,000 emotions are going through my mind. Let me end that incident of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar comes back to the sister. Sister, would you lull your child off? ضَيَقْتَنِي يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ إِنِّي أُدَرِّبُهُ عَلَى الْفِطَامِ فَيَأْبَى. Listen, brother, you are actually encroaching and infringing on me. You've made my life a misery here. I'm trying to wean my child off, and he wouldn't wean off. Can you just give me space? So Umar said, but sister, in the late hours when you're traveling, that's not the time you want to potty train your child or wean your child off. You do it at home, not when you're traveling. Yeah, but you know what? لِأَنَّ عُمَرْ لَا يَفْرُضْ إِلَّا لِلْفَطِيمِ. Because Umar has only allocated a state allowance for a child that's weaned off. I don't have money. My crisis has led me to a point. I'm trying to expedite and quickly wean my child off so I can get some money so we can live off it. وَيْحَكِ يَا أُخْتِي لَا تَعْجِلِي. Sister, don't hasten. Just stay where you are and suckle your child. Just stay where you are and suckle your child. And he leaves from there. And he starts crying. One child made Umar cry. One child. There are thousands that are languishing on the verge of death. The one tent we went to, they said last week 6 children died here alone. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu comes, leads the Fajr Salah. لا يستبين الناس قراءته من كثرة البكاء. Nobody can identify what Umar is reading because there's more sobbing and less reading. He's crying so profusely. After Salah, he stands up and he says, you people call me Amirul Mu'min, but probably a more apt name for me is killer and butcher. بُؤْسًا لِعُمَرْ كَمْ قَتَلَ مِنْ أَوْلَادِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Umar, woe be to you. How short-sighted of you. How limited of you. How unwise of you. You didn't think before you legislated this year that you would jeopardize so many children's milk that a mother hastens to wean her child off. He then amends the legislation and then he says, as of today, a child will receive an allowance from the day of birth and not when the child is weaned off. I'm saying, my brother, one child that was crying and restless made Umar restless. Thousands are crying. Let's make some adjustments in our life, my brother. Let's make some amendments in our life. Today will be this crisis and you respond, and may Allah reward you. So many people, I had response from around the globe. Literally from around the globe. I've seen your footage. I've seen this. I've seen you reporting. We've collected. I said, may Allah bless you all. May Allah bless you all. You know, it's our responsibility and it is only for our own benefit. We haven't done them any good. Anyway, we continue walking. I come close to a masjid. People gather. It's coming close towards Maghrib. I still had Asr Salah to perform. I go in the masjid. I offer my Asr Salah. I ended my interview with Radio Islam. And I walk in there. And one of the team members, Mufti Junaid, had gathered. He had forewarned me. that amongst these that have relocated, there are hundreds and dozens of ulama as well. So he said, I really want you to meet with the ulama and speak to them. I said, my Allah, you know, I'm going to be put in a tough position. What do I say to them? But I'm not going to lose the opportunity. I would love to engage with them. So they were sitting in a simple, basic masjid. And I'm repeating this here so that you can understand the gravity. The stench is unbearable. The stench is unbearable. The muddy, the rain, the murky, the sewage is difficult to cut across and move across. Anyway, we take it off. We get in. I perform my Asr Salah and I sit down. Through the benefit of Arabic and Urdu, I could converse and reach out to them. The other members were still outside engaging with the people while I was having this dialogue with them. I started asking them, I said, tell me a little bit about yourself. First, I spoke a little on ilm and, you know, just comforted them. And then I asked them, tell me what were the circumstances. So one of the ulama spoke, he said, we are teachers from a common madrasa. They came and attacked our madrasa. In front of me, one of our oldest asatiza was shot. When he survived the bullet wound, they physically slaughtered him. These were his words to me. I hugged him and I cried. He sobbed and I sobbed. And I read the verse, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. Allah speaks about those who dug trenches and they ignited fire and the believers had to fall in and a mother comes with a child. تقاسعت, reluctant. And the baby speaks, اسبري يا أمّا فإنك على الحق. Oh, my mother, persevere, it's the truth. This might look like a fire, but it is paradise. In paraphrase. So I read this ayah. They were people of knowledge. They all started tearing and crying. I said, may Allah be with you. I read the verse to them. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم. Those poor migrants who were banished from their land, driven from their land, expelled from their land. I read the verse, أذن للذين. I couldn't say anything. What do I say to them? What do I say to them? I asked the one alim, I said, when you left with your family. He said, they attacked our institution by night. I had to take the boat. Again, exploitation. Those that are running the service are taking a month's salary from each person. These are poor people living hand to mouth, breaking even. I couldn't go home to tell my wife that this is what has happened. He says, I've come across, it's now 8 days, I'm still looking for my family. This is not an article. This is not a report. This is not a columnist. This is not some news. This is the man told me. I just hugged him and I sobbed. I sobbed, he sobbed, and I said to him in Urdu and Arabic, I said, I promise you the Muslim Ummah of South Africa, in a meager capacity, in a feeble way, are thinking of you. We cannot make any loud claims here, but I promise you we're thinking and we're donating and we're trying. We haven't forgotten you. We have faltered and unfortunately we have failed and performed dismally, but we are trying in our simple ways. In the camp, Maulana and his team met an alim at the age of 85 who had more than 20,000 students. I sat with them. I comforted them. I asked them, is there any continuation of teaching here? You know, now going forward. So they said, we couldn't even hold our Quran income. We could. These were their words. Ma indana masahif. Ma indana masahif. We don't even have our Quran with us. So they came, they attacked. We got to the water and the river is this river Naf. The river Naf, as Maulana mentioned. So we cut across. So the border is about 250 km. Geographically, we had a breakdown. That's the land and water border that stretches between Myanmar and Bangladesh. It's about 250 km. But the bulk of them, while they're coming and crossing from several borders, the bulk of them take the route of taking a boat across the river Naf. That's the quickest way. But that's also exploited by local currency, couple of hundreds of thousands of local currency, which equates to averagely 500 rand, which is a month's salary. These were the words of this alim. He said, they shot this alim in front of us. When he survived the bullet wound, They then slaughtered him in front of me. We ran. I couldn't tell my wife, it's 8 days I'm looking for my family. I'm looking for my family. And I said, gave them hope. We cried, they cried. It was so emotional. It was so emotional. We just held and sobbed. And that's the brotherhood of Islam. And I ask myself, I sit in comfort, and I have an aircon, and I have a fan, and then I'm sitting and learning kitab. Ya Allah, if the students of ilm can only value what Allah has given us. If we can only value what Allah has given us. Anyway, we come out of there, and it's getting close to Maghrib. And we start walking down. So the car is at a very distant place, because it's gridlocked. It's everything is congested. There's fumes, there's dense population, there's flowing water, there's perspiration, there's intense heat, it's humid, there isn't adequate ventilation. Nothing is right as such. But in the back of your mind, I'm here for a few hours and I'm going. Allah forgive us. That's us. So we start walking down. And you see these trucks that are transporting people. Now you don't know precisely where to where, but on the back of this truck, it's like an 85-year-old lady. And next to her is a child, when we were in Albania and I gave that report, we went to this class to conduct some examination. And in that classroom, you find three generations by Allah in one classroom. There's an 8-year-old child, the 8-year-old's mother, 30-year-old is there, and the child's granny, 60-year-old is sitting, all sitting together and learning deen. That's the demographics. So they are on the, and while I'm driving, while we're walking, because our car was fairly down, so we're walking down against the traffic, people are moving to their camps, not coming back home or to shelter or to relax, or we had a long day, we were mountain climbing, we were hiking, the barbecue will be on there, the woman will be making the salad, it's all rolling and happening, you're going back there. Some probably got a banana and some didn't get a banana. Some were on a rooftop or some were on a treetop and some had nothing. Some washed their clothes in that dirty water and some didn't. But there's a stench across all. So as we're walking down and we come in, and in this truck I see this little child and that smile just lit me up. Probably 8 years old and this child is smiling from side to side. It's so pure, it's so innocent, it's so amazing, yet it's so tearing. What do you say? Hug the child, kiss the child, and so adorable, but yet in so much pain. We walk our way down, and as the sun is stepping down, and there's this doom and gloom and pain and anxiety, the marshals are telling them to move away, the local police are clearing the way because they need to flow traffic, but these people are still hoping, they're coming, they're converting, they're congregating, they're communicating, and you cannot do anything, and they're just falling back onto this here. Like I'm repeating this, this is apart from the fact what they lost and what they gained. For the moment, there's no shelter, there's no food, there's no sanitation, there's no facility. So it's a very long walk, but it's a deep walk and it's a point of deep reflection. We walk all the way down till finally we get to our vehicle. We hop in and immediately you hop on the AC, Because, unfortunately, that's how soft we are and we need our ease. So the AC is on and it takes us time and it's a long night. We finally get to the hotel, it's like 1 a.m. and then you have a shower and you retire to bed. The next day is an active plan again. I'm just going to move a little forward because I know I'm taking up quite a bit of time. The next day we get up, the teams, the local teams with whom we had partnered, they were given the light that they need to go out early. So that the drive, so we are at the camps and you're driving back to the hotel, which is a good 70 kilometers, but a 70 kilometer you're looking at 2.5 hours. So you can understand, you're tired, it was hot, there's so many emotions, I did multiple interviews, so many reports, and you're driving back, you're all caught up, consumed, that there's 1,000 things that have gripped your mind, and you're driving back, there's so many Quran, Hadith, Ayat, flashing through your mind. You're driving back 2.5 hours, reflecting, introspecting, you get back, you spend the night. Early morning, the local teams with whom the Al-Imdad had networked, they were given the light to say that, please, you go out and reach into the camp, and the truck's convoy will come. We will accompany the convoy and meet up with you so that collectively we can distribute the aid. So anyway, they've agreed, mashallah, the local teams leave early. We just had a slight delay. We leave in two cars and we move in a convoy. We driving on the road, we stop for Dhuhr Salah and it starts pouring. You know, the weather is two extremes. You either got extreme heat or extreme rain. And both, you know what, are challenging to the situation in terms of the germs that it breeds, in terms of the other complexities that it creates. So we halt for Zohar and it starts pouring. We get into the car and with the convoy, we start making our way. Now we're driving quite deep in. We're driving fairly deep. It's about 100 odd kilometers. You're crossing through that same road where we were yesterday. And alongside, you've seen all this. There are lots of aid and NGOs happening alongside the road. But whatever the aid is in relation to the crisis, it's a drop in the ocean. I promise you, it's a drop in the ocean. So there's aid from different Muslim countries, trucks, Muslims, non-Muslims, people giving out. And as you're driving along, you've seen these camps. They are literally scary, the way they position, but not positioned by choice, but that's the only land available. So you just put it up there. So we drive in and I'm seeing this one sight and it caught me and it just flashes back at me. The father is walking. He's holding this child, completely skin and bones. The mother is walking, skin and bones. And I'm saying like, me and my wife holding hands and taking a stroll or going to a mall and we eat in and the boys are in one restaurant and we're in one restaurant. And then, okay, boys, we'll meet at the beachfront. We're going to be having some desserts. Okay, no, the boys are with their friends. And this is father, mother, and child. And he said, this brother told me this is Rohingyan, 100%. You know, he identified. And the child is complete bony. The mother is holding this child complete bony. The father is holding the rice. The mother is holding the oil. And they walk in, both got no shoes on. The children are totally nude. And they're walking through a puddle which is knee level. How do we complain to Allah, my brother? How do we moan and groan? Ma'aba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ta'aman qattu. In ishtahahu akalahu wa in karihahu tarakahu. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever spoke ill of any meal. Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever proved any weakness or any deficiency in anything. You've seen this with your own eyes. We're moving in and you see children, you know, the one brother even remarked, in this whole rain and this crisis, you've seen some kids had made a seesaw. You know, this is life and these are kids amidst crisis, right? Amidst crisis that you live up to the moment. You live up to the moment and you do what needs to be done and they are playing with that little seesaw. We're driving here. And I'm seeing these two sons, strong and muscular, holding a mother that I would averagely, conservatively estimate at about 80 years. Right? I mean, if it's my mom and may Allah preserve our parents, you want the best care, the best treatment, the best comfort, the best counsel. And they're holding their mother, as much as they're holding her half-half, it's obviously straining her hands also. Right? And then the terrain is not conducive for one to hold his mother extendedly. So they're holding her half-half. And this is not one rare sight like capture this. This is everybody's doing this. That's the irony of the whole thing. And that's the challenge of the whole thing. It's not like, hey, stop here, look here. No, no, look there, it's the same. Look there, it's the same. Look in front, it's the same. Look here. But these are things that just, you know what, left indelible impressions on me. And they're holding their mother and they're walking deeper. And I said, these people will walk in Jannah with just so much with their mother on their shoulders. These people will walk, and that's what I said to those ulama as well. I just read the verses of glad tidings of Jannah. So anyway, we go through this. It's like a real challenging road. There's this little bridge here, then it's a one-way road, narrow, one car has to move off and you get in. The truck tilts slightly. Finally, after driving 3-4 hours with the convoy of truck and aid, we get into the camp. The camp is Tinkali, Camp 6, that's identified for us, with other NGOs that are working there as well. So your aid is reaching, but I promise you, the little we do is a drop, my brother. When you see the magnitude of the catastrophe, and you match it with the aid, then even those bars mean nothing. And I'm not trivializing, may Allah forgive me. I have a duty, and you have a duty. If I fulfill my duty, I haven't done you any good. And if you've done, you haven't done me any good. We have to answer to Allah. It's our responsibility to Allah. It's our responsibility to Allah and to fellow humans. So we finally get to the camp. There's a little tent there. And the locals appreciate it. At the security in the hotels. May Allah bless you. You've come to help our brethren. May Allah reward you. So the brother there, subhanAllah, who was manning there, he had recognized me. I said, yeah, in this camp where he recognized me anyway, he had seen some of my lectures or heard it or whatever. He identified me, so we made some contact and we spoke. He spoke some good English. Yeah, it's forest. This is deep, deep into rural, right inside. So we sit down there. There were some Indonesian brothers and NGOs that had come there as well. So just for the benefit of those that were coordinating the distribution, they dismantled that simple tent and they erected a beautiful tent. So there were different trucks and different NGOs. We were on hold, our trucks were there, and the Indonesians were distributing. But understand the crisis, they had brought some canned food, which needed a can opener. So they distribute the aid, but lo and behold, they realize there's no can openers. When you say there's nothing, there's nothing. So then they realize the food needs to be warmed. So he opens one can and he eats it, and he realized that that wasn't the most wise move what they did, because they couldn't eat it cold. And there's no stove here. There's no heating system. So what I'm saying is there's nothing. Nothing is not like little, but you know, a child comes, there's nothing in the kitchen. No, there's a lot. There's nothing of what I want. There's nothing of what I want. There's a lot. Open there. No, who eats beans? No. We don't eat that. I don't like this here. I don't have this here. No, this must be like this here. You occasionally say you're eating a takeout. Five children, you order in from five places. I'm not condoning the eating out or anything. I'm saying, but that's the kind of passions, and that's the kind of demands that there are. That's the kind of demands, and that's how they dictate. So they realize that, oops, you know, as much as what we brought, probably there was a bit of a short-sightedness on our part. Anyway, they distribute it, they erect the tent, and, few brothers from amongst our group, we needed a call of nature, and obviously call of nature is just go there and relieve yourself. While you're relieving yourself, there's a little goat run by. Right? No, that's real. It's real. Right? And you, okay. But that's life. And they're living on the grass. It's not a hiking track or trail. So I came back from there. Then I did another interview there on one of the radio stations. And then we sat down. We sat down and then we started distributing the aid. It's hot. It's 40 degrees. The queue is running for as long as your eye can see. What pains you as much as pleases you that you distribute in aid, you are seeing so many old people that you would love to jump the queue because it's too hard for you to see your grandfather in the queue. It's too painful for you to see your father. It's a man that's hunched, literally in ruku, waiting for 2 kilometers. That's the queue. But his crisis doesn't allow him to do anything else. He waits there because that's hunger. That's hunger. Now you've seen the distribution, but you almost want to, you know what, scale it and like, but how do you do that? Because the one beyond him is just so. So it's quite systematic, which I was quite impressed with. There's order there, there's discipline there, and the queue just runs along, just runs along. I mean, if you go for a sale and the queue is too long, it's all right, who needs that cheap? You know, it's okay, we'll do without it, man. Ocean Basket will always have that sale. You don't need to go for 22 rand fish and chips. You can manage it. You move on with it. You don't have to wait for that year. That's our life. We move on. But there's no food. There's no food. So that hurts you. You start distributing. And Allah forgive you. Distribute. Your hands start paining. You're on the truck. There's 3,000 ampers. So you start. You know, with this enthusiasm. And you move in. And it's one. And it's two. Allah is my witness. The brothers had captured that. The sister, the little girl comes. Right? Innocent. You look at your daughter, 10 years old. She takes the rice. The rice is more weightier than her weight. So she takes it. But now who can help her, because everybody got his own load? She doesn't belong to a family that anybody can assist and coordinate. There's no database here. They have no documentation. So nothing is captured. Which camp, which family, which place, tick off here. No, nothing, 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 nothing. We were talking, what about the other effects here that today, the paper the day we left there, 100,000 Rohingyan children who ought to be in school spend their days in camps. That's a separate crisis. That a gap is going, a generation is going who's supposed to be educated are spending their lives and days in camps. That's a separate. Forgive me for taking your time, my brother. Today it's my time, it's your sleep, but for somebody else it's their life. It's my time, it's your sleep, for somebody else it's their life. So here this girl walks, I'm distributing, and I couldn't hold myself because the poor child couldn't carry that bag. So I carried it. So I started holding it and I started walking with her. And then our brothers came up to me, and Molna, where are you going? I said, I just seen this girl. She couldn't take the aid. So I started walking, but now I can't converse with her. There's nobody else part of her. So I'm walking and walking, and my hands are giving in. My hands are giving in. I walked. She has no clue. I walked till I got tired. Somebody came to my rescue and took the aid and then took it with the girl and moved on. So we distribute, the local brothers help. 3,000 is very small to the crisis, but to distribute physically, unfortunately for our weakness, you know what, we fill the grave after a little while, change hands. Brothers, yeah, everybody must have thawab. Thawab is in its place, maybe, you know what I mean. So that's our life, man. You know, we are weak, we are feeble, we need this comfort, that comfort, we need a meal, then we need a dessert, then we need some tea, then I just cried in my, Allah is my witness, in the shower, as the water trickled down, I cried to myself and my Allah. I said, Allah, I won't know how I'm going to answer you in the qabr, my Allah. Allah, I leave these people and I go back, my Allah. Allah, I ask you to make it easy for each one of us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. May Allah turn their destiny. May Allah bring... When you look at the horizon, you don't know where to start from. So I leave from there and I start following. And as I walk along, a child comes. And he just holds me. And I hold him. And then I rub his head. And the hadith of Nabi alayhi salam, and I did an interview while I was holding him. And my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, someone said to him, that, O Nabi of Allah, my heart is hard. And he said, Imsah ra'as al-yateem, wa at'imil miskeen, sit with the poor, and pass your hand gently over him. The boy doesn't know what I'm speaking, a foreign language. He's got no family. He's come across because he was expelled. I just gently pass my head over him. He smiles, I smile, I hold him, he hold me, and we move on. As we're moving along, and I can just picture this here. So we take this walk down the camp, and I see people taking like a very dodgy path into the camp in the forest. So I asked the brother, can we reach out and probably climb up in this alternate way and go to the camp? So he said, it's very hazardous here, but it's a shortcut. So they take that load on their back and they're moving through. You know, it's like scaling, hopping, jumping, moving and going, but it's dangerous for you, so you rather walk the regular path. So I said, okay, it's fine. It's just that I wanted to see how they cross in, you know, moving with it. Ask our children to bring a glass of water is too much. Just from day till year. Man is taking load and hopping and scaling and going. And he's not a 10-year-old child, 75-year-old man. 75, bare feet. Innakum mahshuruna yawm al-qiyamati hufatan uratan ghurla. You see that? So as we walk in, this old man comes across. And people had seen it, and that had created so much, emotions in the hearts of people across the globe. So this old man comes across, 70 years old, walking bare feet. And he just comes up. I hug him, he hugs me. And we start walking. And the interpreter then starts quizzing him. So it's 3 days ago he came from Myanmar. 3 days ago on a boat, no clue of his family. He was driven out. He came alone. You know, I often say to people that at the airport, there's an act of ibadat that you can do which seldom people do. And I try in my humble way to do it. And that is to help people who've lost their path to their gates. It's a great act of worship. I've seen so many times people are lost. They have no concept, no communication in a different terminal, in a different place. He's got to catch a flight. No, take the man. You have added time. Come, just sign language. Kindness is a language. The blind can see, the deaf can hear, the dumb can hear. You know what? People can feel that. Take him to his gate. This is a man lost, completely alone, 70-year-old. So he starts walking. I hold him. He breaks down. I cry. He cry. Inna min ijlalillahi ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam said, honoring Allah is to honor a man that is 80 years old. We walk down. There's a little man-made bridge. We cross over that. Finally, we get to the medical camp because he's on his way to get some medical treatment. The queue for the food is 2 kilometers. The queue for the medical treatment is 2 kilometers. It's highly possible night sets in and you won't be examined by the doctor because the queue is too long. There's a mobile dispensary and common thing. So there's dermatology issues, there's low immunity, and there's cough and reflux. I mean, that's a given. You're not eating anything. We talk of food poison and things are not right. You talk of, you know, simple things and there's conditions. He hugs me and he starts crying and I cry. And then he starts making dua. I am clueless of what he's saying, and he's clueless of what I'm saying, but I know he's expressing his muhabbat and love for the ummah. We spend some time in the medical camp, and we come back. As we walk in back, you see these children pumping water again, and there are these water pumps on the side. So we come back to the camp, you need a little break, you sit down, and you still see those people who before you went to the camp in the queue are still in the queue. They are still in the queue. They are still waiting there in that queue. We had a flight and you at the counter and the queue is not moving. You're frustrated. Your flight is delayed and nobody's communicating with you. You lose your top. You want compensation. You want recourse. You want an explanation. It's an aircon. You want a voucher. You want a hotel. You want better compensation. This is 2-3 kilometer long. And like I repeatedly said, my brother, think before you buy that branded shoe. By Allah, 80% of them have nothing on their feet. This was too much for me. It was just too much for me. We sat down there again, and by this time you are drenched in your perspiration. You drenched. I'm like, you know, completely soaked up. Your garment is touching against your body. And you just try and offer a smile to them, comfort, hold them, acknowledge them. And then they've decided that we've got to move from this camp, the aid will continue. So this camp, at that day, with the grace of Allah, there were 80 trucks coming in. Few were from Al-Imdad, few were from the other NGOs. But again, as much as it's good, to the crisis it's very little. I'm going to wrap up shortly. So from there it was decided that we're going to visit another place. So we come out of there, hop into the car. Again, you just, you know what, on your aircon, you get a little breather, you feel nice. So we drive in, I ask, do we have any snacks? Because it's a long day, we haven't eaten. And South Africans, Romani creams and chocolates. And anyway, you munch a biscuit. Allah is my witness. You munch one, and these people come to the door. So we stop because of traffic. So I said to the driver, and I was going to eat one more, but my inner self said, no man, how can you dare eat another biscuit? Like, be real about yourself, be real. But I cannot give the box out till we can move. Because if we stationary and I give the box out, it's a crisis. It's a. I promise you, a gesture is you signaling 200 people around you. So you just got to look inside and not look around because of the desperate hope. The desperate hope on them. The athar of Raja, that something's coming my way, something's coming my way. When you're waiting for someone, the doorbell ring, the geezer leaks, the cat runs, you just see someone, all right. You're hearing nothing, you're creating your own sounds. You're imagining your own sounds. Why? Because you're hope. When you got fear, then you'll hear your own cat sounds, you'll hear footsteps, you'll hear different, because fear is in you. When there's hunger in you, كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَن يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. Earlier this year, I was in Malaysia. Before the conference, they arranged meals. After the conference, they told me, you'll have meals. I said, no, I'm fine. I get to my hotel, I retire to bed. I fall off to sleep a little while. But you know what, when you're hungry, you can't sleep. I get up at 12 o'clock, and it just hit me that you had the choice and you didn't eat. What about those that have no choice and sleep hungry? Wallahi, Allah is my witness. I got up, I met tahajjud, and I said, Ya Allah, I just have to phone now for room service, and in an hour's time or half an hour's time, the doorbell rings. And but what about those who sleep? That's how it is. So we come out of there. When it's clear and we can move, I take out the box and I give it. There's no moan or groan or fuss. They take it. My brothers, let us learn never to dispose of one slice of bread. My brothers, let us not dispose of one fry or one chip. My brothers, let us not dispose of quarter glass of water. Clean, pure, wholesome, palatable water is a privilege. Is a privilege. Alhamdulillah, الذي سقانا عذبا فراتا برحمته ولم يجعله ملحا أجاجا بذنوبنا. لو نشاء لجعلناه أجاجا. لو نشاء لجعلناه أجاجا. فلولا تشكرون. You know, we could make that water salty. Why aren't you grateful to us? أَأَنْتُمْ أَنْزَلْتُمُوهُ مِنَ الْمُزْنِ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْمُنْزِلُونَ. Did you bring the water down from the clouds or we brought it down? Let us never dispose of anything. So anyway, we come from there and we meet up with this amazing scholar and alim. May Allah bless him. You know, the more you travel and the more you see what other people do. A friend of mine's phoned me from Canada And he said, I'm seeing some of your footage and I'm seeing your coverage by Allah. And he's a mufti and he's a prominent scholar. And he said, I feel like I'm doing nothing and I've done nothing. When you hugged that man and the way he cried, my heart just bled. And I said, Ya Allah, what have I done in my life? What have I done in my life? I'm debating some intricacies here and I'm going into some finer points here. And the ummah, it doesn't have food. And the ummah is on the brink of this crisis. So he with his team of students have actually camped amongst the Rohingyans to work within them. Obviously, the camp that they put up is a bit more structured. But I promise you, we won't stay in that as well. Right? Because it's for them and they have a rotation system where they got scholars and ulama coming in and working out. So he said, are you people ready? So we had a long day. It was hot. We were deep down distributing. We said, yeah, we're ready. All good? Yeah, all good. Alhamdulillah. Okay, you're going to take off that shoes of yours. You need those real boots, knee level. Because we're crossing some sea, deep waters and some real muddy waters, etc. Okay, that's fine. We get there. We put on those boots and everything and that gear. We come out. And clueless how long we're going to walk, only to further realize after that whole day, and may Allah reward him, he gives us a 5 kilometer walk. So we come out of there, and here we see this bridge. You know, in Arabic, they say, الضَرُورَةُ أُمُّ الْإِخْتِرَاعِ. Desperation is the mother of invention. Now you got to cross, and the water is deep, right? You're seeing cattle completely submerged in that water. So one of our brothers were trying to be brave, let's walk over, and the other one said, no way, there was a cow that was completely submerged, so, you know, just go slowly. So there's this little bridge made, bamboo sticks, but flimsy, completely flimsy. It doesn't have concrete, and it doesn't have all that solid structure. And while I'm still marveling at how this bridge was erected, Mahmud tells me, Monana, look there. And when I look there, the two young men with a pole in a little cloth, in a like a crib-like, they have their mother crouching and sitting on. Oh man, Ra'a Umar ibn al-Khattab rajulan yahmilu ummahu wa huwa yatufu bil bayt. Umar ibn Khattab was making tawaf and he seen a man holding his mum on his back and performing a circuit around the Kaaba. Hamaltu ummi wa hiya al-hammala turdi'uni ad-darra wal-ulala. He's saying, today I carry my mother, and if I carry her for the rest of my life, I can't equate what she carried me in her belly. She nursed me and she was the source of my comfort. Umar said, لو كانت أمي حيا, if my mother was alive, فعلت بها مثل ما فعل هذا كانت أحب إلي من حمر النعم. Oh young man, I salute you and I'm envious of you. If my mother was alive, I would have also put her on my back and I would have also gone around the Kaaba. Oh young man, Allah has given you your parents. Value them. Value them. My two eyes have seen. Allah is my witness. A man-made bridge. It's so flimsy you risk your own self. These young men, because of the traffic and the volume, wait their chance. One on this shoulder, one on that shoulder. A little cradle made. The poor old lady crouches herself together. Waits her chance to get onto the bridge. As she's crossing, they capture me and I'm making dua. Allahumma sallim. Allahumma sallim. What's Allahumma sallim? One brother seen this footage from Sri Lanka. He phoned me. He said, this footage of yours has shattered me. It has shattered me. What's this dua? I said, Allahumma sallim is the dua Nabi alayhi salam will make when the ummah will cross the pul sirat. As they were moving, this thing is flimsy and weak. And he's taking his mother across. The poor old lady crouched up, waiting her chance, waiting her chance. Allahumma sallim, Allahumma sallim. And I'm literally walking behind them. I am empathizing and sympathizing on their crisis, but envious of these two young men. Envious of them. Envious of them. You are asked to take your mum in a car, and that's an issue. And your mother goes shopping, and mom, I'm waiting, my friends are waiting. How long must I wait? What? What? What good is those wheels? حَمَلْتُ أُمِّي وَهِيَ الْحَمَّالَ تُرْضِعُنِ الدَّرَّ وَالْعُلَالَ. This is carrying on the bare back, bare feet, holding this mother, precious cargo. We tagging behind. A young man came to Abdullah ibn Abbas. I've done this wrong, I've done this wrong. Okay, is your mother alive? No. Okay, is your mother's sister, maternal aunt? Yeah, go serve her. He leaves. Someone nudges Ibn Abbas. لِمَ سَأَلْتَهُ عَنْ حَيَاتِ أُمِّهِ. Why did you ask him if his mother was alive? أَدَبُ الْمُفْرَدِ. Imam Bukhari has mentioned it. لِأَنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ عَمَلًا فِي الْإِسْلَامِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ بِرِّ الْوَالِدَةِ. Ibn Abbas said, I don't know of any action which Allah loves more than serving your mother. Nabi alayhi salam said, I was in Jannah and I heard Nu'man bin Haritha reading Quran. سَمِعْتُ صَوْتَ قَارِئٍ يَقْرَأ. Who is it? It is Nu'man. كَذَلِكَ الْبِرِّ وَكَانَ أَبَرَّ النَّاسِ بِأُمِّهِ. He crosses over the bridge. We cross behind him. I make a comment there and I say, may Allah guide the youth. We move across. We pass by. There's a little stream of water, not stream as in stream, flowing, beautiful or anything, dirty water, but you know, flowing. And just on the mouth of this little stream, there's a camp here. And the children come out, and the mother is standing outside in hope and anticipation. We cross over. And they're holding my hands because obviously we're not familiar with terrain. At this stage, we don't know how deep we're walking. You okay, Sheikh? Yeah, I'm good. You fine? Yeah, lovely. We walk in, we're going deeper in. Now we get into a deeper puddle of water that goes above our knee. These people carry this every day and they cut across. Another amazing salient feature, everybody makes salam. Everybody makes salam. I, in my life of traveling multiple countries, I've never seen type of salam like this here. And what's it? عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. Everybody is an ambience of salam. Salamu alaykum as-salam. And you know what kills you? When we're coming back and it's nightfall and it's dark and there's no lighting system and there's this old man and he's got this bamboo sticks. Now these things are like probably 2-3 meters long and he's got it on his head and he's hunched as it is and this has hunched him even more and he's barefoot and he's crossing this river and he's greeting you and saying assalamu alaikum. Ya Allah, what do I tell this man? I want to run and hold that load and take it off from him, but behind him is a man with another load and in front of him is another man with a load. So I said, you can get very quickly despondent. You can get very, very quickly despondent to say that, where do I start? Where do I start? Anyway, we walk across and we walk deeper, deeper. In fact, the group had gone ahead and I was still at the back. We finally hop, scale, like cut across 3-4 puddles of water and we get to the mountain. And it's just Maghrib time. It's just Maghrib. The sun is just setting over. The sun is just setting. It's Maghrib time. And this is a steep incline. The sight that meets my eye after having walked that 3.5 kilometers at the mouth of the mountain as the sun is setting, I look above me and I see thousands of camps on the mountain top. Thousands of camps. I'm climbing up and in midstream of this mountain, there's a 10-year-old girl pumping water. And then she takes this load of probably 10 liters and she holds it and she's now walking up the mountain with that water and balancing it with skill and confidence and I'm grappling to walk with nothing on my hands. And my child has an issue to go to the cafe round the corner to buy a drink for him. To buy a chocolate for him. So I got to send the domestic servant and the helper because of the tantrum and the shenanigans. Forgive me, may Allah guide us. This girl is pumping water, which is not pure, but there is nothing else. As we hit the mid of this mountain, I won't forget, there's a 7-year-old child crying. He's lost where he is. You know, I go frantic in the mall when my child is missing, and I dash till I find my child, and I get it on the PA system, and an announcement announced, this is a 7-year-old child, barefoot and nude. The sun is tipping, thousands of camps overlooking, water has been pumped on the side, there's no communication, but like he's wondering, there are thousands else wondering. So all I did was held him and kissed him. I couldn't do more, and I felt so helpless about my feeble and my inadequate nature. We climb up, we move on, and that's the time I see this one camp right on the cliff. I'm saying, Ya Allah, the child mustn't roar when he sleeps. You know, as a parent, how you think of your child, man? How you think? You think of everything. You think of the worst case scenario. You accommodate everything and every, the most distant thing. Take out policies on unborn children. Where our mind run? And sleeping on the cliff. If this child one tumble, he's gone. We get right to the top. When we get to the top, we summit. this mountain, and now we've walked this 5 kilometers, and we're drenched, we're perspiring, but the feeling is something else. That moments are moments that never come back. At the top of it, with the aid of this alim, a masjid has been built. A masjid has been built. And my brother, you have a difficulty to hop into your car and come and perform salah? That's been asking too much of you. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِي Imagine that sajda, what Allah must be giving them in that sajda. What that prostration must be like. So, we just witnessed that. There's a shovel with the sand. Basic, simple structure to perform salah. Now, there's no help at the bottom. But where they are based, even if you want help from there, your closest walk is 5 kilometers. Not to say if you walk down, there is help. So I'm just thinking to myself, if a mother has a problem with a child at 12 at night, you just got to allow your child to die a death. That's it. And it's not a hypothetical situation. We see this construction of the masjid, and we all are looking at this with envy, and suddenly this mother comes up with a child, and she captures all our gaze. And every one of us, as exhausted as we are, we were just dropped, and our tears were just flowing profusely. Morana is here. You can ask any one of the group. This mother presents, and this baby looks like it was premature, malnourished. I'm not going to say deformed, but immediately you realize this child needs serious help and care. The mother is just calm and relaxed, not because she chooses, but there's nothing that can be done. There's nothing that can be done. As soon as she brought that child, we all just cried. We just teared. I asked if the child could be handed over to me. Lo and behold, I held the child. And amazing, I found these children don't cry. Either probably they've cried till there's nothing left to cry, or I don't know, Allah has divinely given them sabr. But I swear by Allah, from my limited understanding, that child didn't look like it had more than a few hours left. That was the stage of this child. Completely, you know, the cheeks were gone in. The body was completely, there was bones. It was weak, was frail, was completely thin. I held the child. I read, Allahumma inna hadha iqbalu laylik wa idbaru naharik. Allah, the sun is setting, the day is ending. The new Islamic year has come in. Allah, Allahumma innahum hufatun. Allahumma innahum jiya'un fa'at'imhum. I said, Ya Allah, they are hungry, you feed them, my Allah. Now, can you imagine the challenge? Everybody is there hoping for you to say something and give something, but logistically you're unable to do that on every moment, and you are crowded by so many people, and you yourself are continuously trying to introspect on your own situation, but for the moment trying to lend some support. So I held the child, and what makes it more painful, I ask what's the name of the child, and they tell me the girl's name is Humaira, which happens to be my daughter's name. And everybody has a sense with their own child. You know, when you're traveling and you see a child and it just hits you. And if the child's got, oh, that's like my Muhammad. Oh, that's like my Ibrahim. Oh, look at this. And you say, Ya Allah, my child, one cough and you had a pediatrician. One vomit and the mother's up. One little this year and all the medication. Allah is my witness. The mother held that child. She was patient. The child was patient. The mother was skinny. The child was skinny. There was nothing. As I held that child and offered support, another mother came from the rear and offered her child. That mother came, and as she was coming, the child vomited out completely. As the child vomited, the mother had nothing. There's no separate cloth or garment or bag or this or that. She just took her very clothing and she wiped the child and wrapped the child up and again latched the child up. I was dumb. I was speechless. I didn't have any words to say. We sat there, we comforted, we had some aid that was coordinated and was distributed. We now start making our way down the mountain. We start making our way down the mountain. But you're realizing at every juncture you haven't offered adequate. You haven't rescued anything. You haven't fixed any situation. You went in there, observed, tried to offer moral support, gave something out, observed it, and then you go back, and then you go back. And you move on. I'm saying, can we think, can we imagine what's going to be, you know, our condition, and how would we reconcile? Now it's an issue because the sun is setting and we're coming down. You know, one slip and you're going to tumble. And we walk down. And as we're walking down, you see dozens and scores and multitudes of people coming back to camp, because that alim was telling us 300 camps here got washed away yesterday alone because of rain. So the camp itself is so challenging and so basic, and then it's further compounded by the rain and the climate. Brothers, we have a responsibility. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُوا مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. When it was said to them, that spend on the people that are poor. So they said, well, you say that whatever happens, happens through the will of Allah. So some are poor by the will of Allah and others are wealthy by the will of Allah. So why must we spend on someone whom Allah doesn't want to spend on? This was the slogan of the kuffar and the infidel. In Surah Yasin, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُوا مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Why must we feed someone whom Allah doesn't want to feed? And the answer is very simple. Allah has intended and Allah has decreed and Allah has ordained that every soul be fed. And the system put in place is that Allah has made it responsible for those whom Allah has blessed to feed those that don't have. My opening comments, the planet has adequate resources to fulfill the needs of every human, but not the greeds of every human. Because we have decided to live a life of greed, it has come at a price that others have been deprived of their needs. It has come. You know, in English they say, this world is a strange people, a place. Many people are willfully blind, yet they complain that they cannot see it. This world is a strange place. Many people are willfully blind. My brother, after hearing this, after seeing this, after imagining this year, how do I still go back and complain? We are willfully blind. We choose in blindness. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَىٰ عَلَى الْهُدَىٰ. They opted for blindness over guidance. We make our way back. And as we walk in, the night had set in. And these old, old people walk in, coming back with these bamboo sticks. Now they're so long that, you know, at a distance you've got to move out because it could hit you on that side or this side. Because it's so long, but that's what he needs to carry. And he's walking through and he's greeting you. And you still tiptoeing to find your way. And then we get back. And, you know, these are all introspections. So we get back to the bridge. We say, hey, peak our traffic. There's traffic at the bridge. There's traffic. There's traffic at the bridge. Literally traffic, because you can understand it's a man-made bridge. This is where the mum was taken across. It's flimsy, so it can't carry severe weight. But now everybody wants to come back. So now they go to regulate and coordinate this here. For me to wait in traffic is too much. I'm saying donating is one, but changing your life is more important, my brother. And to respond is an absolute need. And it's my duty, it's your duty. And I promise you, I've seen with my own eyes the aid reaching there. And again, I say to go out and see the challenges of coordinating the logistics. It's a daunting task. Those that are communicating it and delivering it are doing us a big favor. May Allah reward them and their likes. May Allah reward them, and because it's my duty. Remember, to teach my child Quran is my duty. The ustad is helping me. It's not his duty. So I will be answerable if I didn't teach my child Quran. And if he helps me, he's helping me in my cause. That's his kindness. That's his kindness. He hasn't done me a favor. I haven't done him a favor. He's doing me a favor. It's not his duty. It's my duty. So we come back to the bridge, and now you've got to wait your chance patiently because it's very flimsy. So 2-3 people. So the brother gives me a little guideline. This is how you're going to come across. Anyway, we cross again, and then we make our way back. And when I get back, the brothers get into the tent, and I just have a calling from within myself to sit in a corner and make some dua to Allah. And I don't know why, but at that time, the whole ta'if played out in my mind. I just don't know why. It just played out in my mind. And I started imagining my Nabi. Of course, here the dynamics are different. It's Muslims, we respond in. But I just started replaying in my mind the whole challenge in the life of Nabi alayhi salam. And I sat in one side, and I lifted my hands, and I just started not making dua with my tongue, but with my tears. Because what I seen had shattered every fiber in my body, had shattered every fiber in my body. And I just cried and cried. Finally, we offered salah in this makeshift camp where those that are coming to help, they offered us some fruit and some basic hospitality, which was very kind of them. Then we got back into the car. The car was stuck in the mud. It was again an issue to get the car out, pushing the car. That's a nightmare. So there's a lot of logistical issues. The car comes out. We finally hop in to move out of the traffic is a nightmare. Finally, we drive, drive, drive. You're tired, you're exhausted, you're hungry, you're irritable. There's so many things. Drive, drive, drive. Finally, when you get to the hotel, so we asked the host and the brother who took us where he's working, come join us for meals. He said, no, Maaf, you carry on. We go back to that mountain on top. In the nights, we build in mobile toilets. It was a nightmare coming out of there. He came to drop us. Now he's driving 2 hours back. And he says, we have an active plan. We alternate the whole thing. And he showed us there when we were there. So what we do, we create some toilets just to minimize stench. There's no sewage and everything, but just to have some degree of system. My brother, I can tell you more and I can keep on telling you. May Allah forgive me. When I came back, my mom asked me, my dad asked me, my brothers asked me, my children asked me, and I gathered the family and I set them all down because I believe I had a moral duty to my family and I have a religious responsibility to the ummah that I convey and communicate. Laysal khabru kal mu'ayana, that what I see, I convey to you. I ask you and I pray that Allah will take my sentiments across the globe. And I hope and I know with certainty that every one of us will effect changes in their life, inshallah. And I'm optimistic that funds will be generated and donated. And again, you understand and realize that whatever we do, that's our duty, but it's far less than the real thing that needs to be done. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously turn their day. May Allah make it from pain to ease and comfort. May Allah, you know, there was a call within me that was almost saying, أنزل عليهم مائدة من السماء أنزل عليهم مائدة من السماء أنزل عليهم مائدة من السماء. How do I tell you this year? The disciples of Isa came to Isa عليه السلام. هل يستطيع ربك أن ينزل علينا مائدة من السماء? Oh Isa, can Allah send for us a table laden with food from the heavens? Can Allah send? So Isa alayhi salam said, قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear Allah, why are you asking things like this? قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَن نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَعْلَمَ أَن قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Isa, we want to eat from it. We want to be at ease. It will reaffirm your prophethood. Isa alayhi salam then made dua to Allah. Ma'ida in Arabic means laden with food. Khiwan means a table without food. There was a call in that, Ya Allah, as you send the umber for Sahaba, and they ate from it. And the narration of Muslim Sharif, that 13 people could sit in the eye socket of that fish, and aqamna alayhi shahran, aw nisfa shahrin, for half a month, over a month, few hundreds of them lived of that year. I said, Allah, you send an umber for them. Allah, you send food from the heavens. Allah, you clothe them. Allah, you comfort those children. Allah, you fill the chests of those women with milk, Allah. Allah, you fill them. Your system is food and nourishment and then milk. But how you'll do it, you do it, my Allah. Allah, forgive us. Allah, you hold the hands of those tyrants. Allah, you give ease and ummah and ease to the ummah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. Oh my kind, loving, caring, merciful Allah. Allah, you are as you have described yourself. سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. The heavens and the earth praise you Allah. كُلٌّ قَدْ عَلِمَ صَلَاتَهُ وَتَسْبِيحَهُ. Everybody knows how to praise you, Allah. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Some rocks are falling out of your grandeur, Allah. وَإِن مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ. There's nothing but that it glorifies you, Allah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Allah, the heavens and the earth. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَهٌ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَهٌ. My Allah, you are the ilah on the heavens and the earth. We know with certainty, Allah, that you are aware of this, Allah. And we know with certainty that it is in your control, Allah. And we know with certainty that the tyranny of the tyrants is not out of your gaze, Allah. And we also know with certainty that no one is above your might and your power, Allah. مَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ الذَّرَّةِ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ. Nothing remains concealed from you, Allah. Allah minds was a cursory glance, was a casual glance. But every child in every camp, my Allah, you hearing the cry of that child, my Allah. Allah, you observing everything, Allah. Allah, their jannat is made, Allah. Allah, they are close to you, Allah. Allah, we are optimistic that you are pleased with them, Allah. We ask you to keep them steadfast, Allah. And we ask you to give us the ability to respond, O Allah. Allah, we ask you miraculously and divinely to fill their bellies, my Allah. Allah, we ask you as the night sets over them, Allah, you become kun raqibahum wa nasirahum wa wakeelahum. Allah, you become their guardian, you become their protector, you become their helper, Allah. Allah, save us from our pride and our arrogance, Allah. Allah, make us grateful and humble, Allah. Allah, make us appreciative, Allah. Allah, let us never moan or groan, Allah. Allah, we drown in your bounties, my Allah. Our children drown in your bounties, my Allah. We eat the best of food. We clad the best of clothing, my Allah. We move in soft cars, Allah. Our houses are fragrant, my Allah. Allah, they are surrounded by stench, Allah. Ulama were massacred, my Allah. Madaris were bulldozed, my Allah. Parents were separated from children. Children separated from parents, Allah. Days have lapsed, they haven't eaten, Allah. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا. Allah, we remind ourselves, as you have declared, you are not oblivious. So then why are the tyrants doing what they're doing? إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ. Verily you have given respite to the day when the gazes will be dazzled, Allah. Makaru makrahum, they have their plots. Wa in kana makruhum litazula minhul jibal, even if it be as mighty that it can move a mountain. Fala tahsabanna Allah mukhlifa wa'dihi rusula. Fala tahsabanna Allah mukhlifa wa'dihi rusula. You will never go against the promise that you have made to your nabis, O Allah. Alladhina ukhriju min diyarihim bighayri haqqin. Those who have been expelled from their land unduly, unjustly, O Allah, بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ, simply because they said, our Lord is Allah. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, and they found no fault with them but that they believed in you, Allah. Allah, we ask you, and as I said to those ulama, Allah, and I ask you, comfort each one of them by blessing them with the ziyarat of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah. Allah, let that sleep be a ziyarat. Let that be their comfort. Let that be their ease, Allah. Allah, give us the ability and the Muslims across the globe to respond to this catastrophe and every other situation that has gripped and plagued the ummah. Allah, we ask you not to snatch the bounties you have given us, Allah. We ask you to keep us in afia and ease, Allah. We ask you to protect our children and our families and our belongings. We ask you to preserve the faculties that you have given us, O Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli sharrin masta'adhaka minhu abduka wa nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.